is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Nature's Pavilion. Nature's Pavilion is a natural food market and vitamin shop located at 564 Route 23 in North Pompton Plains, New Jersey. You can go to their website to get tons of information on a healthy lifestyle by visiting www.naturespavilion.net. Again, that's www.naturespavilion.net today.
Hi, this is Sean Yoakum, Program Director for Rock Out Loud. The Hope Saves the Day on Autism Radio. Thank you, Paul, and the Autism Radio team for all you do for families and programs like ours. Rock Out Loud is an alternative music program for children with special needs. Whether it's playing a drum solo, ripping a guitar riff, laying down a bass lick, tickling the ivories, or wailing away on a microphone, Rock Out Loud will definitely provide every child with an experience that rocks to a different beat. If you know someone who may benefit from our program, visit our website at www.rockoutloud.net. Thank you.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, master chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back in another edition of Hope Saves the Day. On today's show, we have two very special guests, Leslie Ells and Dr. Marlene Sotelo, who are from the Ells Foundation and also run an amazing program called Game On Golf Program, which offers a great opportunity for socialization and sport, and it's really becoming a huge success. I'd like to welcome you both to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, Leslie, if you wouldn't mind just taking us a little bit through your journey, just how, you know, the whole foundation got started.
Well, you know, my son, who is 13 now, he was so, like all of our kids, I guess, mine was really slow at developing. Nothing came as easy as it came to his sister, who is 3 years older than him. And it was clear pretty soon after he was born that, you know, something wasn't quite the same here. And I think as a mother for the longest time, I wanted to pretend that he was just a slow boy and he was going to snap out of it and be this perfect little boy, which now I think he is perfect, more perfect than he would have been. But at that time, you know, everyone's comparing notes to one another. We're out on the golf tour and you see all the other golfers' kids every week and you just really... not judging your child, but you're measuring your child against the development of the other kids. And at the, probably when he was about three and a half, we had the final diagnosis of the fact that he was on the spectrum. And shortly after that, we started going public with it and talking about it and then moved to the U.S. And once we were here, we he was in a little school not too far from our house, which was in dire need of expanding. I mean, it was clear as daylight. They had an existing foundation that was trying to raise funds for their little school to move to a 10-acre facility and, you know, expand their borders a little bit and to incorporate older kids as well. So we sort of got a little bit involved there, got our fingers a little bit wet there, and a friend of ours, Marvin Shanken, whom you might know from Wine Spectator and Cigar Aficionado, he suggested that we start the foundation and he will help us host a golf tournament once a year, and afterwards we can then decide what we wanted to do with the proceeds. And we had our first event, we started the foundation, and after the event, the task came upon me and the then executive director to go and find worthy places to donate our money to. of course, all I wanted to do was give all the money to the school so that we can have a better school for my son and move to the 10-acre facility. And after about 3 months of proving to them that the other options out there was not so exciting, they agreed that we can start supporting the school. And it grew very quickly from that initial donation into us getting very much involved and the foundation's sole purpose becoming the development of this facility. So it grew from a $10 million project to a $54 million project and growing. I'm fearful to say where we're going to end because I feel like I always find somewhere else and something else that I would like to add to it. But I'm proudly speaking to you from the first, from the auditorium building and the lower school, which was the first two buildings that we had go up on our 26-acre facility. So it's been a very interesting, exciting few years, and since August we've been on premises here and we have just gotten board permission to start our upper school. So we're in full force and racing for a fingers crossed, I'm not supposed to say, but hopefully January 2017 opening of the upper school as well.
Wow, that would be, that's amazing. That's absolutely incredible.
If all goes well.
Yes, of course. Of course it's going to go well. You know, so how many students do you have now come through the program on a regular basis?
So I'll let Marlene tell you about the ones outside of the charter school that are involved in our programs, but just the schools on the facility, the existing school, the lower school, is a charter school for 150. It has a capacity for 150 children, and we are at 118 at the moment. And steadily growing. I was going to say 115. But we purposely, when we moved into this facility, the charter schools are existing. So the upper school charter school is also already in existence. They're just in a very inadequate building. So they moved, the lower school moved into the premises with less than 150 kids because we felt it was important to do the transition and make sure that all the equipment was working, that we knew how to run the place, that everything was safe for our children, that the teachers were up to scratch and not explode too fast. We wanted it to be manageable. We wanted it to work properly. But eventually when the whole facility is open, the charter schools will be for 300 children and ages from 3 to their 22nd birthday. And then aside from that, we also have our own programs that the foundation puts up, and that Marlene will tell you a little bit more about.
Hi.
Yes, Dr. Marlene, thanks for coming on.
Yes. So in addition to the charter school, as Liesl mentioned, we also offer a variety of programs and services to the community. One thing that we often forget to tell the community is that we also have a center in South Africa that opened in 2011, and we've provided free services to families, over almost 300 families we've served for free in South Africa. The office is located in Johannesburg. And then in addition, we also, as you mentioned, we have our Ernie Els Game on Autism Golf program that has been throughout the country now for several years. We also launched it in Canada last year, as well as in South Africa. And we have served probably around almost 500 people across the world with this specialized curriculum that we wrote that includes not only the instruction on the game of golf, but it also infuses social and communication goals so that the students, the participants, are always learning how to interact with each other, how to communicate, how to be independent and engaged with their environment. And then we also just launched it in Ireland. We're working with the UNESCO chair and IT Trolley College, and we will be doing a research study with them on the implementation of the program in Ireland. So that's the Game on Autism Golf program. We also have our international program called Goals, where we have seen families from five different countries. We've had about 40 families that have come through our doors so far. They come
in. That's only since August.
Yes, that's only, and actually almost really since January, where we actually had them come here because we were driving out to their hotel or the house that they were renting, and we're providing intensive intervention, program evaluation, and program oversight. So these, for example, the first family that came here in January, they had twins, adorable little boys, 6 years old, and they came here for 3 weeks. And they were seen by a speech therapist, occupational therapist, behavior analyst, an educator, music therapist, and the parents also received training on how to facilitate the social and emotional well-being of their child so that when they returned home, they would then continue on with the program. And then what we do is we follow those families through video conferencing to continue the supervision of the program and the mentoring of the trainers and therapists back home. So that's another program that we've launched in addition to our golf program. We're also offering music therapy and art therapy open to the public. And we also have a whole adult services program that we have launched. We received a significant grant from a foundation to launch an employment training program for adults with more significant disabilities in providing them with hospitality training. So we're in partnership with PGA National, and we're going to be offering a free training program to the adults at PGA, teaching them specific job skills in the hospitality and golf industry. So we're pretty busy, Paul.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you got so much going on. You guys are wearing so many different hats, and I just love that you're bringing the arts back. I mean, that's, you know, therapy is obviously very important, as we know, but other forms of therapy, I think, play such a bigger role in development of our children, for sure.
Absolutely. If I had my way, there would have been horses running around outside already.
Absolutely. Horse therapy is excellent, for sure. You know, one of the things that's great is, like, you know, music therapy, they're doing so much studying now on it, you know, from a scientific standpoint, how, you know, it can actually change a lot of the cognitive behaviors in children with autism.
I just sat right up in my seat. I am a certified music therapist. This is how I got into the field many years ago. And I knew from the start the power of music. When I first started out as a private music therapist, I would work with the kids. Other therapists would say, what do you do in that room with those kids? Because they don't want to come to see me, but they want to come to see you, and they're angry when you make them leave. And I said, it's not really what I'm doing. It's the power of music. And the individual doesn't even realize the therapeutic intent of what we're doing, because the music is such a motivating force, and it's a nonverbal way of interacting with the environment and engaging with others. And so now, finally, there's studies that are being conducted to show the impact on the brain and how speech can be developed through music and through singing, whereby with other means, it's much more difficult.
Right, no, for sure. You know, one of the things that's great, too, I noticed, you know, you're doing the job training. That is a big thing that you guys are doing, and there's just seems to be such a lack out there today. There's very few programs that I know that are doing the job training. And what are some of the job trainings that you're doing right now with some of the individuals in the program?
Well, we have, not only do we have the employment training program, but we also have independent living skills program. So we receive funding from the Autism License Plate Grant in the state of Florida. There's a license plate with a puzzle piece, and the funding that comes through the state for that is provided to autism organizations throughout the state. And we were very grateful recipients of a grant last year to provide music therapy to adults on the spectrum. And then this year we received a grant from them again to provide cooking classes, which is right up your alley, Paul,
yes.
To be able to teach them how to cook for themselves and how to take care of themselves and become more independent. And then because of the fact that the Ells family has been so involved in golf, obviously, and golf is often associated also with travel and with hotels, we thought we would make this our niche, and we would focus on creating job opportunities for adults on the spectrum in hospitality. So that's why we partnered with PGA National. They not only have the golf course there, but they also have the pro shop. They have a full spa, hotel, restaurants, and there's so many job opportunities in that facility, and they've been wonderful in allowing us to be able to do on-the-job training. So what we've learned is that when adults on the spectrum are given the right support with the right environment and people that are understanding of what their strengths are, that they are able to be very successful in the workplace. And in fact, they are better employees than many of the neurotypical employees because they follow the rules. They want to be there more than anything. They get there on time. They work all the way through their shift.
And their lunch break is only an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
They stick to their hour.
And if you know, a lot of times employees, you know, they play on social media. They're on their phone. And the adults on the spectrum, they know what the rules are, and they follow them. And so they're more engaged and are more focused on their job and are very, very good employees. And that's really what we're trying to do for those that are more severely impacted, because there are job opportunities for those who are, let's say, on the higher end of the spectrum. One of our great supporters, SAP, has launched the Autism at Work program, where they are employing people with autism across the world. And their niche is in the technology world, and they employ people that are on the higher end that have college degrees. And so we don't want to replicate what others are doing. What we're trying to do is build upon it, learn from each other, and make sure that we are employing those that maybe would otherwise not be able to be employed.
Yeah, fill the gap. You know, like you rightly said, there's so many gaps in the adult services community as well. I mean, I always wonder what they think happened to our kids once they turn 22. Is there like a magic wand and they're all of a sudden, just like the rest of society, able to go from someone that was so dependent on so many services to now having to cope in life with no crutches, you know? And I really think that I've listened the other day, actually, in our golf world, for one, most of the sponsors will say, yes, we're focusing on children's charities. And I thought, I hear that a little bit too much. There's a lot of our adults that really, really need support as well. And even our older community, you know. I feel it's important that we tell people about it and explain to them the benefits of employing these people, not just for what they themselves are able to give in a job opportunity or in a job scenario, but what effect they have on the other people that they work alongside. There's been a few stories that we've heard of just how impactful it was on the other people and how good that good feeling, that the feel-good feeling I get, you know, how you feel good about yourself, you look at other people in a different light, you're a more accepting human being, and then they set an example of the way you should be conducting yourself at work and how you should be, your work ethic should be. So I think it rubs off both ways. It's such a mutually beneficial situation, and our job as these kids, as advocates, kids and young adults, is to show the world, to teach the world. Don't send these kids blindly into a job opportunity. Don't push them, but then don't give them any chance to succeed. You need to train the employer on how to handle our kids. Otherwise, it's a nightmare, you know. It's a disaster waiting. You are. Yeah. You're setting both sides up for failure. So it really is our task to not only advocate for them, but to teach and to help those people that are willing to help and assist and employ our kids and our adults.
Well, that's great, because that's so true, because, you know, it's discovering the talent of these individuals. You know, everybody has a different talent. Like we always say, you know, when you meet one child with autism, you met one child with autism, one adult with autism with one adult with autism, you know, because they're all individuals and they're so different. And they learn in a different way, and they all have different skill sets. So, you know, it's great that you're, you know, looking to maximize, you know, their abilities and untap the, you know, the secrets to their abilities to be productive.
And I also think for the kids here in the school, sorry I interrupted you there. The sports programs that we we put on and that other people in the special needs community around us are putting on. There's so many amazing programs, but where they peer put them together with peer buddies, that is so important, because we're teaching the young people how to then become responsible adults. You know, I remember, you know, when people used to hide anyone with a disability, especially with any form of, I don't know, like all kids were hidden. If you had a disability, no one talked about it. It was sort of the shame. And now maybe it is just me, but I'm so proud of my son. I keep wanting to talk about him. And I said to someone, I've congratulated someone the other day when they told me that they had a kid on the spectrum. I'm like, oh, congratulations. Well done. And I thought, here, these people were coming to me for sympathy, but we've had so much joy out of not only my son, but his buddies, you know, and other families with their kids on the spectrum. Yes, of course, there are difficult times for all of us, and we support one another, and having the community out there is amazing, because we all need our support system. But it really and truly is something to be celebrated. And if we can teach people not to be so uncomfortable around our kids, but to see them for who they are, not to fear them, it opens so many doors. And again, you're raising valuable members of the society. We all need to be more tolerant of one another's differences, and we'll live in a far more peaceful world.
I agree with you 100%. I couldn't have said that better. That's beautiful. You know, I wanted to ask Dr. Marlene to tell our listeners, you know, where they can find more information about your program and how to enroll in some of your programs that you're offering. If you don't mind giving some of that information out.
Well, anyone who's interested in our programs can go to our website, elsforautism.org. So it's elsforautism.org. And under the Center of Excellence tab, you'll see a tab for programs. And all of the contact information is there. And, in fact, families that are interested in the programs can fill out an online application right there. So if someone's interested in music therapy, there'll be a tab for that, and they can fill out the application and be called by our program staff.
Well, that's great. And, you know, Leslie, I wanted to ask you a question. How is Ben doing today?
Oh, he's doing great. You know, he has, he's learned to communicate so much better than a few years ago. It's like he comes on in leaps and bounds. His speech is probably that of a four-year-old in some aspects, and when it comes to the swearing, probably that of a 21-year-old.
Oh, jeez.
But he is a very, very happy child. He is addicted to his dogs. He loves to go on the golf course with his father. He loves his sports. His talent to me is that he has the ability to make everyone smile around him, and he makes you forget about the problems in the real world. And life for him is so uncomplicated. And I think it's important for all of us. And we live in this surreal world and the golfing world where everything is, you know, you're flying around all the time. You live in hotels. You're in different countries. You're all over the world. And this boy brings you back to reality, brings your feet squarely back to the ground, and makes you appreciate the little things in life. You know, I took everything for granted with my daughter, I think, you know, her development, her speech, her athleticism, everything about her just came easy. And here comes this little boy where if he asks you to go to the bathroom, you're jumping up and down because he's communicating out of his own, you know, he's not being instructed to say something. You learn to appreciate the little things in life again with these kids. And it's he's entertainment to the entire family. He's very lucky. He has a very, very amazing sister who brings around all her friends, and they interact with him so much. He is their little mascot everywhere they go. So he's a joy to be around, and he's progressing on a daily basis, and we just couldn't be prouder of him. He's now so addicted to his teacher that he has this year that we had a very hard time making it through spring break without her. Every morning he wanted to get dressed to go for school.
So I can remember the days when I had to have assistants to get him in his clothes to leave for school, and now we have to fake it in the mornings in order to stay there long enough. He wants us to go to school an hour before we're supposed to go, so we're driving in circles to get here and just delaying. But it's a wonderful problem to have. He's very excited, and when he is like that, and when he loves someone that's teaching him, he'll do anything to please them, which then, of course, results in him making progress so much faster.
Well, that's wonderful, Lesel. I know our listeners would, you know, love hearing that. Obviously, you know, they follow Ben's story, and of course, you and Ernie's story, you know, coming out back in 2009, and you know, sharing your journey with the world, and just where you've come to now is just amazing. And having people like Dr. Marlene on your team, you know, she's an amazing individual too. And the work you're doing is incredible. And we just thank you both for doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. And I'm very blessed. We have a spectacular team around us. And I'm actually looking at a comic book next to me of the superhero woman, because we have quite a few women. We have one little Superman here.
Two Supermen,
sorry.
Three.
Three Supermen now. They're growing. But
and 15 women.
15 women, yeah. So it's a tough world around here for men. But it really is a phenomenal team. And we laugh together, we cry together, and we grow together. And I think that's important. Your strength is when you stand together, united. And
when you see the difference that you can make, not only in the lives of people with autism, but in those that get to see the beauty in those people, your passion for your job drives you every day. There is no weekend or night, because everything, you love your job. And I think that's why we have such a great team, because every day we see the impact of our work.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. You know, I always talk to a lot of therapists and a lot of teachers, and it really takes a true special person, too, to teach, you know, children with disabilities, for sure. You know, not everybody can do that. You know, there's a certain love in your heart that, you know, comes across with your teachings. You know, it's not just the textbooks and the actual education part, but it's also the passion that I think, you know, you just see with a lot of these teachers that, you know, work with our kids today, for sure.
And it's all about perspective. It's about seeing how we're more alike than we are different. And I think that that's something that all of our staff here also feels, that they're just like us. Everybody's just like us. We have some strengths. We have some weaknesses. We all have a heart. We all have a brain, and we all want to be happy people in this life. And when you look at people with disabilities, people with autism, just like you see yourself, your whole perspective on how to engage with them and what their potential is completely opens up.
Right, that's great. It's so true. And, you know, I know of myself, you know, being a father of an autistic child has made me a better person, too, without a doubt. You know, and just you, like you said, Lesel, you know, you just really appreciate so much more, I think, in life in general. You know, little things that, you know, we used to take for granted, like you were saying earlier, you know, just kind of when you were talking, I picture my son for the first time when he started brushing his teeth, you know, and it was like that was a big deal. You know, and he was 12 when he did it. So, you know, that was on his own, you know. So
it's just
amazing.
Yeah, no, I'm still supervising that one.
Yeah, I still supervise him, but he does do it on his own now with the electric one. So it's kind of funny watching him do it. He makes a little mess, but that's okay. I'll take that any day of the week, you know.
Yeah, I've learned
amazing
to brush teeth without a shirt on, because as soon as there's one spot on that shirt, we're changing our shirt. Even though it's just water that'll dry, we're changing our shirt. So.
Yeah, that's always that little bit of toothpaste gets on there, and it doesn't come off no matter how much you wipe it, too, right? I know,
so
it's so true.
So we're bare-chested when the teeth is being brushed.
Yeah.
Maybe too much information.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, I mean, it's so true. You know, like I said, you know, it takes special people to do what you're doing. And, we just want to thank you guys, like I said, from the whole autism community. And this is a very special show today, too, because, you know, it's during Autism Awareness Month, which, you know, there's so many people out there doing some wonderful things. And, you know, we want to continue to follow your journey and all the work you guys are doing. We want to thank, you know, Dr. Marlene, of course, so much for your work. And, you know, Lesl, you and Ernie, for what you did to put your foundation together, and the programs are amazing. So we thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
So, but
we look forward to you broadcasting from our facility soon.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to set that up for sure. I'll have to take that'll give me a reason to go to Florida. Maybe when it gets a little cooler up north, yeah. Then you know, come down.
Exactly.
It's a little nicer weather down there.
Time it. We'll let you time it.
You'll let me time. Okay, all right, that would be great. Well, I really appreciate that, and of course, we wish you guys all the best with your program, and you know, we'll continue to follow up with you for sure. Please stay in touch for sure with Autism Radio. We love to know what's going on, and if we can do anything to help to get it out there to others, we love to be a part of it, and you know, continue on your journeys of your program and your schools and everything that you guys are doing. Again. You know, and we're going to put all the information up on our website. It'll be on autismradio.org. We'll put the website, any information that you want to send me, Marlene or Lesl, or, you know, if you have a Hilda, send me some stuff. We can gladly put it up on the website. Even any events that you have going, you know, coming up, we'll put on there as well. So, like I said.
Thank you. That would be amazing. Yeah, no, it's very special, Autism Awareness Month. It's I think I wear more blue.
Our nails are blue.
Our toes are blue. Everything's blue this month.
No, that's great. You know, it's true. It's good to see that, you know. But I always say to everyone, too, it's great that we have, you know, obviously our time of the year, but you know, obviously we advocate all year long. So, you know, if to us, as you know, Lesl, you know, autism awareness is every day of our lives. So, and we continue on that journey for sure. So
absolutely. And I love that the focus can be on this. I mean, it's amazing that for a whole month, people do pay more attention to it than they do normally. And I, you know, I don't necessarily see that as a negative. That's our 31 days chance of counting, of motivating people to be there for the rest of the year. So it's our job to do extra this month, I think.
Yes, absolutely, for sure. You know, we just want to thank you both, like I said, for coming on today. And we'll have all the information up on autismradio.org. We want to thank Lesl Ells and Dr. Marlene for spending some time with us on Hope Saves the Day. We'd like to thank all our listeners, as always, for all their continued support here on the program. Without you, this program wouldn't be possible. And we'd like to wish everybody a great week, as always. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Goodbye, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. Remember, hope saves the day. I want to show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me.